Dear Father, I thank you just for your amazing grace, Father, that you would save a wretch like me, just that you would save a wretch like all of us, just that you would rescue us from the pit of our lives, that you would do it every day on a continual basis. Father, just we thank you for the comfort and peace that you bring us. Amen. Howdy. My name is Brandon Grice. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from codependency, insecurity, guilt, and shame. All right, so no kidding. There I was, in the middle of the U.S. Army's Special Forces Star Course, one of the military's most elite and difficult land navigation courses in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina, with 100 pounds on my back and my rifle and not a soul in sight, but a compass to help guide my way. When I opened that compass, it was truthful, always pointing north and keeping me on track. At one point in the course, I became overconfident and put that compass away. I knew exactly where my next objective was. As I came to the next terrain feature, I knew something was drastically wrong. I had drifted off course. In a panic, with darkness approaching and fear creeping in, I again opened the compass and got back on course. I wish the story had a happy ending, but alas, it does not. While I was successful in navigating the course that day, I ultimately would not graduate from the grueling year-long training course to become a Green Beret, because later I would fail to use that compass again and again and again, just as I had done so many times before in my life. While my land navigation compass was truthful, my moral compass looked more like one of those hypnotizing spinning wheels at a carnival. Up to this point in my life, I struggled deeply with codependency and needing to feel significant. I found that significance in personal accomplishments, which drew the admiration of others, and in lying and manipulating relationships when I struggled with insecurities or failure with accomplishments. If I was failing at work, at least I could get the admiration of other men by being smooth with the ladies. Life is hard enough. It's even harder when you're using your anatomy to guide your path. During the long training course, the heavy rucksack on my back felt light compared to the weight of insecurities that I was carrying. With no relationships to seek solace in, and the guilt I carried with me from past relationships, I could not escape. Special operations soldiers are typically physically, mentally, and spiritually prepared. While I was physically able to manage the training program, I was not mentally prepared, and as a non-believer, certainly not even close to being spiritually prepared. At the time, I had no idea how to cope with my insecurities, loneliness, and guilt. I ended up quitting the course in order to escape home to seek comfort in proposing to my girlfriend and build my life up through her. As you might imagine, that relationship didn't end well either, as the engagement was called off only 3 months later, only to add to my insecurities, loneliness, and immense guilt and shame. At this point in my life, I had hit my rock bottom. I had had several good friends in college and in the Army tell me about Jesus, but I was never willing to listen in those moments. I always thought it was too late for me. The course of my life had already been set. At this rock bottom point, though, I decided to reach back out to them and to learn more about this Jesus. Was it not too late for me after all? Their lives always looked so much less stressful. Could I not have that too? Instead of pursuing more women and alcohol to comfort me, I opted to pursue Jesus. I'll give it a try, I thought. I wasn't quoting this scripture at the time, but looking back, I can see that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will set your path straight. This is what I was attempting to pursue and put my faith in. I didn't have one of those mountaintop spiritual transformations, though, where everything is instantly better. I still continued to struggle. And one particular Friday night, I had no idea what to do with myself. I felt helpless if I wasn't drinking and spending time with my now ex-fiancé. I had visited Watermark a few times, so I decided to go to Regen that Friday evening. Used to be on Fridays, too. I lived north of Watermark then, and I thought about trying to play Frogger across 635. If I didn't make it, then at least the pain would be over. However, with the voices of my buddies in my head and the hope of a new life, I decided to drive. That first night at Regen was difficult. I could barely even share why I was there through all the tears. However, it was also so very comforting to hear other people's stories of grace and how they had found healing in a relationship with Christ. One of the most impactful verses for me while attending Regen was Romans 8, verse 1, which states that, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." After spending time going through the critical first three steps, I was able to not only admit that I had a problem, which I clearly did not have the power to change on my own, but also to understand that my struggle was not so unique. 1 Corinthians 10:13 states that no temptation has overcome you except which is common to man, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And most importantly, that when you are tempted, he will also provide you with a way out so that you can endure it. God's way out in that passage is Christ's sacrifice, making us new in Christ and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That if we believe that his power can fully restore us, if we place our trust in him and submit our lives to his will, confessing our sins to him and let him set our paths, then we too will know his faithfulness and feel the freedom of his grace and forgiveness. After spending time here at Regen, I can look back at my childhood and see how certain patterns and behaviors developed in my life. I no longer felt that the abuse I received in my childhood was no longer a joke that I would use flippantly at parties, but rather that being locked in a wooden box all day while at daycare for a period of over a year probably had a few significant impacts in my life, especially when it comes to loneliness and fear of abandonment. I was also able to see that my parents' divorce had similar effects on me too. During this time, I was also attending The Porch, Watermark's young adults ministry. That ministry helped me to realize that this life was not just about me. I love the story in John chapter 5 of Jesus and the man at the pool in Bethesda. During this time, I felt that Jesus was continually asking me too if I wanted to get well. And I felt I was responding by continuing to pick up my mat. After being at Watermark for approximately 2 years, I was able to feel as though I had really taken ground in my struggles. I was experiencing the joy of faith, obedience in my relationship with Christ, and in the summer of 2012, I got married. Following the wedding, my wife and I joined a foundation group here at Watermark, which is a community group specifically for newly married couples where they learn and put into practice solid foundations on which to build healthy marriages. Also during this time, in the fall of 2012, I began a very rigorous graduate degree program in order to change careers. The pressure and demands of this program would prove to be extremely stressful for me. My insecurities, fears, and anxieties returned. The situation was very reminiscent of my previous professional struggles in the Army. While attending Regen and then leading my first closed group, I focused on finding healing from my brokenness and guilt and shame in relationships. But I had not focused on finding freedom from the guilt and shame surrounding my professional failures in the Army. The school environment at this time was overflowing with lust for materialism and various idols in my life, which only fueled my own temptations for money, success, and acknowledgement. I continually kept thinking that if only I hadn't quit, then my life would be better. I was still using God as my compass, but my battles with my insecurities of previous failure were often overbearing, which caused me to easily lose patience with my wife and also with others around me. I was overwhelmed with these feelings of anxiety and inadequacy, and I felt alone. And while I felt as though I had a solid foundation with which to stand upon, I was deceiving myself by not always putting them into practice. I would still pray often and seek solace in God's word, especially Matthew 6, 33 through 34, which says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and not to worry about tomorrow. However, the reality was that I felt as though my success in school was dependent on me. during this time as well, I also began to realize that I was pursuing the relationships in our foundation group in a selfish manner to fill the void of acceptance that I was needing. It wasn't a romantic relationship, but it was the same codependent need that I had struggled with before. I continued to stay involved with Regen during this time and began leading in groundwork. Continuing to be connected with the Regen ministry and reminding myself of my brokenness was critical for me during this time. The solid foundation I had learned proved to be a source of strength in helping me persevere. God would also show me that I was only going to be successful in school and finding a job if I was willing to follow His will and not my own. For the most part, with God's help, I was able to make it through unscathed. However, we must still deal with the consequences of our actions and as a result of our sins. And as a result of mine, our foundation group that we had joined split up. Later, I would have the opportunity to lead another group of men through a closed group here at Regen. This time through Regen would prove to be one of the most fruitful and impactful periods of spiritual growth in my life. I realized that I was angry about our foundation group splitting up. I felt abandoned and hurt, tossed aside like a useless piece of trash. However, this time during the inventory process, I was able to make groundbreaking steps while meditating on Matthew 7:3-5. By taking the log out of my own eye and understanding my part in the conflict within our group. I realized that if I was honest with myself, I wouldn't have wanted to be in community with me either. James 4:1 asks us, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" I began to realize how it was my own selfishness that caused the conflicts within our group. Matthew 6:14-15 and James 1:22-23 were also incredibly convicting to me as well while working through the forgiveness and amends process. The verse in James tells us that we should not deceive ourselves and to not only be hearers of God's word, but to be doers of God's word. The verse in Matthew shows how serious God is about forgiveness and that we are to forgive others as He has forgiven us. These are some pretty point-blank verses. God's not sugarcoating anything here. Together, these verses really help to show me the seriousness of being able to let go of my hurt, to forgive, and to seek forgiveness through making amends. Making amends with some of my foundation group members was not easy. It took me 18 months. But it was an incredible freeing and I'm thankful for finally following God's path here. Finally, I have also been able to take further ground in finding healing from the failures and guilt and shame of quitting on my military dream. Having a child of my own has helped me realize that while many men are capable of leading others, there's only one person who can lead my family, and that person is me. It has not been easy to die to myself in this regard and giving up that dream. But hearing my son's unrestrained, innocent laughter easily makes me realize the importance of spending time with him instead. James 1:2 tells us to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Today, I'm thankful for God and this ministry of reconciliation and regeneration. Following these 12 steps daily helps me put my trust in God and allow Him to direct my path through these trials daily. If this is your first night here, or if you're still struggling and doubting that God is real, you're in the right place. You need only listen to His stories of grace that come through the people of this place to understand that you too can experience the same freedom. If you're willing to follow the first steps of this program and submit your life to God, you too will know Him and experience His grace. If you've been here a while, allow me to encourage you with Hebrews 12:1-3, that we continue to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus Christ in all things. Thanks and gig 'em.